You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm excited about the message tonight. Genesis chapter number 6. And really the thought comes, and I pray that it's a help to you, and even as Brother Fenner has said many times, even this morning, that God uses sometimes the most simple illustrations to prove great biblical truths. Great truths that we can glean from God's Word from very, very simple and relatable illustrations. And I hope that we can find one of those tonight. The message really comes from, my wife and I actually started a Bible study a little bit over a year ago now, where we've been studying a little bit separately, then we'll come together and talk about some of the things that we've studied, where my wife will study all of the mothers of the Bible, and we've been going through, not necessarily in chronological order, and I will study the fathers of the Bible, and look at the children, the decisions that the children made, the decision that the parents made, and what they said to their children. It's just been a fascinating, fascinating study that we've enjoyed so much. And really one of the characters that you first find as some information as a father figure in the Bible is from one of the characters that we'll look at tonight in Genesis chapter number 6. And in Genesis 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. We'll read just a few verses if you can follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented to the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Verse number 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." And then skip down to verse number 18, the same chapter. The Bible says, "But with thee," talking, God's still talking to Noah, and God says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark." Here it is, "thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." You don't find necessarily that Noah's family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, the father figure of the family, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You ask yourself why? I believe primarily it was because something can be said of Noah that is only said of one other person in the Bible. And it happens in the previous chapter to Enoch. And it is the phrase that Noah walked with God. Yeah. Noah walked with God. The question for us tonight is, how is our walk with God? Fortunately for us, God has chosen to not take an event like the flood and destroy the earth. But you can read here, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but the earth was corrupt. There was a violence. It was every imagination of the thought was evil continually. And God decided that I have to destroy mankind, but then one person found grace in the eyes of the Lord because they walked with God. I thought about entitling the message, "Walking Saves Lives." And it's very simple, it's a little bit humorous, because you see that the two people who are attributed the phrase and the description of walking with God, both of them were saved from destruction. Enoch was translated at the ripe old age of 365 that he should not see death, and that one day as he was walking with God, he was just a little bit closer to heaven than he was to his earthly home. And so God took him home to be with him eternally. And then you find here Noah, which was the great-grandson of Enoch. You find here that Noah is also attributed the phrase that he walked with God. as I started this study and I looked at Noah's life and I looked at the phrase that Noah walked with God, it's such a sad state of affairs that the earth had come into and that was happening all around Noah, and that there was evilness and wickedness and violence, and that Noah was singularly found as walking with God. I asked myself, how is my walk with God? And I asked myself, I said, if it were God's choice to wipe man off the face of the earth again, would I be chosen? Would my walk with God save my family? Would I have had a consistent and constant and close relationship so much to God that I would find grace in His eyes? How is our walk with God? See, the thing that's not going to matter when we face trials, the thing that's not going to matter when hardships come and when storms rage on and when the finances aren't there, the things that are not going to matter is that we know God exists. Everybody in this story and everybody around the earth at this time would have known that God existed. It was a fact. It was very known that God had created. And if you look at it from the fall of mankind to the flood of the earth, was a period of about 1,500 years. The 1,500 years is concisely recorded in about 140 verses of Scripture. So if you read Genesis 2 to Genesis 6, you can basically count on it that every verse you read, another 10 years of time has passed. And as the time passes on, the earth is filled with people, and people begin to multiply upon the face of the earth, and there is all of these people around. And as they go about, God sees that it is wicked and it is vile, and everybody knows of the existence of God, and everybody would have known, and everybody necessarily kind of would have had the same history or the same heritage, as they all came from the line of Adam, and they all would have had knowledge. But the thing that's not going to matter is whether or not you have the heritage. And the thing that is not going to matter is whether or not you have knowledge of God. The thing that is not going to matter is whether or not we have done the right works or have said the right things. The thing that is going to matter when hardships come and when trials come and when tribulations come and you have to climb the mountains and you have to go into the valleys, the thing that is going to matter the most is our walk with God. Amen. How is our walk with God? For some additional context surrounding our character, we see God's desire for mankind. Look in verse number 3, if you would. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 1 Peter 3:19 also says, But which also he went and preached unto the spirits in the prison, and here it is, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was appearing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." God's desire is to walk with mankind. I can't explain it. I cannot describe it. I cannot tell you why it is that God desires to have a relationship with us. But God's desire is to have a relationship and to commune in a unique and special way that is not available to any of His other creations. Even at the end of Scripture, we're reminded of Revelation 4:11 that we were created for His pleasure and that we might give God a portion of the glory and honor that He is due. During these days, God's Spirit was actively present and working during this pre-apocalyptic society. God's initial desire was not to have a distant fellowship with His creation, but He gave His Spirit to be with mankind and to plead with him and to attempt to move His heart. And it's not until all hope is extinguished that God finally releases man from his persistence of his love. The significant truth that God desires a relationship with mankind is ultimately the life-saving reason why Noah was able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. So you find God's desire to have a relationship with man, but then in verse number 6, you find God's disappointment. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." What an entirely sad state of affairs the condition of man had turned a perfect creation into. It grieved him. God loved his creation so much that the thing that he looked at mankind and he said, "It is good, now have been turned evil." The thing that was so perfect had now become wickedness. And so it grieved him at his heart, and he was so disappointed and repented to the Lord that he had made man. And the grief that God must have had as he looked at the mankind that he had made, and now man who was made to honor God and to love him had become the enemy of God, enslaved by sin and so perverted that there were no good thoughts, no good intentions, no repenting, and no righteousness. God's desire, God's disappointment, and also in verse number 7, we see, sadly, God's decision. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. There was a decision here made by our almighty and omnipotent creator. Because God had created life, he also had the right to destroy life. A few months ago, Pastor Aprushan preached a great message on God's sovereignty, which says that God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, to whom he wants, for whatever reason he wants. And so when we look at God's actions and we say, God, that's not fair. Or we say, God, that's not right. No, no, no. God is always just. And God is always fair. In his decision for destruction, God is only proving his righteousness. Evil deserves justice. Wickedness demands correction. Corruption requires a remedy. Don't ever be mistaken that God is always just in his decisions. Just because we cannot see it like he does, sin will always be judged and goodness will always be preserved. God is gracious and forgiving, but he is also fair and just. Verse number 12 says this, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You know, sadly, it does not take much imagination to picture what's going on during that time. Where wickedness was applauded, violence was rampant, adultery was acceptable, and sin was championed. Verse number 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great. It was not some fringe group of radicals. It was not just a select few people committing these acts of sin. Wickedness was the mantra of the day. It was the chant of the leaders. It was the standard for society. It had encapsulated each and every individual so that, at the end of verse number 5, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The root phrase of this, every imagination of the thought, deals with a potter who fashions and molds his clay. And it happened that man was molding his evilness and wickedness and forcing it upon society. And they were forcing this and they were making obscene images. And they were having this wicked ideas and philosophies that they were pushing upon everybody across the earth. And evilness was the normal. The same kind of thing is fast becoming accepted in the modern world. Our moral standards and religious restraints have been cast aside. The sins that produced the flood have risen again in the world and are fast reaching toward heaven even now. It's no wonder that God is next in our patches of scripture revealing his wrath. When we can examine our world today, and sadly it'd be easy to find it reasonable and acceptable that God would wipe man again from the face of the earth, the frightening comparison to our current society and the days of Noah is recited even by Jesus in Matthew 24, 37. And Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And when the days of Noah happen again, we should be looking up because Jesus' soon return is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Yes. It's not going to be long now. It's not going to be we're going to have to wait another 1,000 or 2,000 years. I don't believe that for a second. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to happen soon. But I ask ourselves again, how is our walk with God? You say to Noah, who singularly stood out in such a generation that he was perfect in his generation, there's a strong contrast. What a mighty character he must have been to resist the pull of the whole earth. What's different about Noah? Well, the difference was not his heritage or his family tree. The difference was not his surroundings or his circumstance. The difference was not his job title or his position. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he chose to walk with God. Amen. Believing God when all the rest of the world denied him, and those people who heard the gospel by Noah could have been saved. 2 Peter 2:5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person. He was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah, because of his relationship and faith, shared the truth with the world, but mankind rejected him. Presumably, for more than 120 years, Noah preached righteousness, but everybody would not heed. It's a principle with God that the more degenerate the times, the more definite the testimony. God always has a special man. God raises up a Moses, or God will raise up an Elijah, or God will raise up a Daniel. And in this time, God chose Noah. With the world crumbling around him, God raised up a unique and specially chosen vessel for his work. Mankind had turned their indifference toward God into independence from God. It was not God that had moved or had become detached from man. We ourselves, in our sin and filth, distance ourselves from God if we do not consistently tend to the relationship that God so desires to have. A spiritual walk with God will produce change with our physical walk with man. It is not possible to have an authentic, close, meaningful walk with our Creator of the universe and not come away changed. For us, if you can see this illustration of walking, and specifically walking with God, but is there anybody here in the auditorium who can say, Brother Flood, I am a fan of walking. I enjoy walking. Is there a few? There's a few. Good. I like that. For me, if I enjoy walking, really depends on what it's compared to. Do I enjoy walking when it's compared to running? Absolutely, I do. Do I enjoy walking when it's compared to sitting on my couch? No, I do not. And so I guess it all depends on what it's compared to. But this very simple illustration of walking with God. Now, I need a helper for this illustration. Brother Hudson, can you come up if you would? And I told Hudson I'd use him in an illustration. Hudson, you're running for, what are you running for in the school?
President.
All right, vote for Hudson for president. I'm Luke Flood, and I approve this message. Now, I told Hudson he'd come up here, but I didn't tell him what he was going to be doing. Hudson, can you walk?
Sir.
Oh, you can? Oh, that's good. I chose the right person then. I like this. Hudson, here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk from this side of the platform to the other side of the platform and basically just pace. Not like a brisk walk. And by the way, it reminds me, I am so glad that the Bible does not say that Noah ran with God, because that sounds very tiring. I'm glad he said that Noah walked with God. So don't run. Just walk, okay? Can you do that? Just at that's a good pace. I like that. Just keep on doing that. Keep on doing that until I tell you otherwise. So you have here this idea of walking, right? And walking is something that requires physical action. It requires some participation. It requires us to do something. You know, if you say to yourself, you know, about walking, I want to become a better walker. I want to just be a better walker. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read books about walking. And so you read the books about walking, and perhaps you can glean something from walking or from reading the books about walking. Perhaps you can learn a tip or two. But I can tell you this, that reading about walking is no substitute for actually walking. You say to yourself, I want to become a better walker. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch the best walkers in the world. And they have that speed walking in the Olympics, you know what I'm talking about? I'm going to watch walkers. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to learn how they do it. You're going a little bit too fast there, Hudson. A little bit slow down. All right, there you go. And so you say, I'm going to watch. I'm going to learn about walking. But what I can tell you, maybe you can learn a thing or two. Watching somebody else walk is still not a substitute for walking. There is no substitute from us getting up, physically going out, and going walking. You can say to yourself, well, maybe I'm just a runner. Well, that's good for you, okay? Way to overachievers. But there is no substitute for walking. You know, walking requires a little bit of effort. Not a whole lot, but it requires a little bit of effort. It requires us to spend a little time. It requires us to put forward a little work. And what happens sometimes, and for a lack of a better illustration, Hudson, keep on walking if you would. Hudson will represent the Spirit of God. And what happens with us in our life, is we go about our life, and we sit down, And day by day, the Spirit of God walks right by us. And we say, hey, Hudson, how's it going? Is it going good? Good, good, good. And that's all we get. We get that one little glimpse, that one little fleeting moment. Sometimes you say that going to somebody's house and communing with somebody at their house, you go to their house, you're invited, and you spend an hour there. Spending an hour at somebody's house and then leaving that house is no substitute from spending hours every day walking with them. If you say, I'm gonna spend time with them, and so you spend one activity with them and you do one thing with them one day for one time, that's no substitute from walking daily with somebody. And so the Spirit of God passes by us every day, and the Bible even says that this is God's desire. This is what I want man to do. I want man to have a relationship with me. I desire it. I crave it. I created man so that I could have a relationship with them. And the Spirit of God is walking. And the Spirit of God is passing us by. And the Spirit of God is so close. And yet, we just wave as it goes by. The depiction of walking with God would be having the Spirit of God pass us by, and we walk side by side. We commune together. We have a relationship together. We travel the highways and the pathways, and we climb the mountains, and we go into the valleys together with God, because we're walking with God. We're spending time with Him. You know the thing about walking with somebody, especially if you're this close, Hudson, are you comfortable with this? Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, he's all right. All right, good. Because you know what I'm talking about? You walk with, if you're on the public sidewalk and you're walking and somebody happens to be at the exact same speed as you and about the same distance as you, it's a little bit weird, right? Because you're not like walking together, but you kind of are walking together. It's kind of strange, right? And so you try to avoid it, you try not to do it. But when you walk next to somebody and you're spending time with them and you're communing with them, you're having a personal relationship with them. You know, as I walk next to Hudson, I cannot help but feel his presence. I can sense him being so close to me. I may not be able to see him, but I can hear his footsteps. I may not be able to hear him, but I can sense him being close. And as we walk with God and as we spend time with God, there is no other realization that there is a God. What sometimes happens in the Christian life is this, that we spend time with God, but what happens is sometimes we are just told about God. We say that we are preached to that, yes, there is a God. And yes, He is great. And yes, He is good. But we understand that, and that's all just head knowledge, but it has no substitute. And it is not a replacement from spending time with God. It's not a replacement or a substitute from walking with God and communing with God and having a relationship with God. And you say to yourself, because that head knowledge is only going to last so long. That head knowledge is only going to last for only a few trials or only a few heartaches. But when you walk with God and when you spend time with God and you have that special relationship and you know that God is real and that God cares about us. When you have that special closeness with God as we walk together with Him. Hudson, you're doing a great job. Are you tired?
I'm great.
Oh, he's good. All right, good. I like that. Maybe I'll kick it up to a jog next time. Who knows? I've seen him on the soccer field. He'll be all right. He's got good conditioning. But you have that closeness, and you know that God is real. And you know that God is good. Why? Because you spend time with Him. And you've had a relationship with Him. This idea of walking with God. It says specifically, the Bible says that Noah walked with God. Hudson, you're doing great. You're doing awesome. The Bible specifically says that Noah walked with God. It implies that it was not just a one-time event. It was not just a one-day activity. It wasn't just a one-week campaign. It was that Noah had a constant and consistent walk with our God. It was that he was familiar with God. as you talk and as you commune, as you spend time with each other, as you walk along the pathway of life and you go through trials and you go through heartaches together, and as you walk with God, you begin talking. And this is why, you know, sometimes wives want to go walking on the beach because there's nothing else to do but just talk about your feelings and about all the great things that you're going about your day. And it's awesome. And I enjoy, I hate the beach, but if I'm walking on the beach with my wife, I love it, okay? You can tell her that. And so, but you spend time because you're talking, you're communing, you're having a relationship. And as we talk together, we can say, Hudson, how are you doing?
Good, how are you both?
I'm actually doing fantastic. Are you a little bit nervous that you're going to trip and fall? Or?
He's going back and forth.
Oh, he's just going back and forth. He's all right. But as we talk and as we develop a familiarity and as we grow in our relationship, you know, if I'm looking for somebody who, there's a difference there between you have somebody who you're friendly towards, but then you have a close friend. And the walking with God, our relationship with God, is that idea that we have a closeness.
Amen.
That we have a familiarity, that we know God. Why? Because we spend time with Him.
Amen.
It's not going to happen by just sitting around. Unfortunately, you got to do it purposefully.
Right.
It's something that's not going to happen by accident.
Right.
It's not something that's just going to, oops, I walked with God today. It does not happen. Purposefully, we have to spend time with our God.
Yes.
Hudson, thank you. You did a great job. You can have a seat. Give Hudson a round of applause. Good. He did awesome. He was so nervous. I told him that he was going to be an illustration. He said, what am I going to do? And I said, don't worry. I'll tell you. Don't worry. It wasn't that bad. All right. But you have that when you spend time with God and when you have a relationship with God, you know what happens? Not only does our spiritual walk change, our physical walk changes. See, the Bible says that Noah was perfect and upright, and he was a just man and perfect in his generations. Why? Because he walked with God. The spiritual walk produces a change in our physical walk. It is something is evident that people can see. When we have a constant relationship with God and when we spend time with Him, there is a change in our appearance. There is a change in our demeanor. There is a change in our actions. It's only happened a few times, but God has been good to our family. We were at Costco just 2 weeks ago, and I love Costco. I try to mention Costco at least once in every message. And I love Costco. I love it. And they're carding people now. What's up with that? And anyway, but I love Costco. We were sitting at the food court of Costco, best place to be at Costco, aside from the sample tables. And we were sitting in the food court, and we were eating those $1.50 hot dogs. And our family was sitting there, and as we sat there, the kids actually had their school uniforms on, and we were eating lunch together as a family. And as we just sat there, we were just minding our own business, having a great old time. Somebody walked by. I don't know his name. He didn't give it to me. Somebody walked by, said, hey, here's your receipt. I just paid for chocolate chip cookies for all your kids. And one moment I was saying, God bless you. But the other moment I was saying, they don't really need chocolate chip cookies. but he said, it's so great to see other Christians in public. I didn't know him. He didn't know us. There was just an evidence. There was just a demeanor. There was a presence. There was something different about us. We should not be ashamed that we are different, by the way. We should not be ashamed that God has separated us for a specific work, that we are a called out people, but we should embrace that. Not saying that you have to be strange or peculiar, okay? What I am saying is that we should be different.
Amen.
There should be a difference about us, and it comes from our walk with God. The day in which Noah lived, everywhere he looked and everywhere he saw a flagrant, violent public acts of wickedness, horrible sins were being flaunted, yet still Noah obeyed God, even in building the ark. You skip down to verse number 22, and we'll wrap it up. Brother Oxenine said I have to be out of here at a specific time. Verse number 22, the Bible says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And we've heard preaching about it, and we understand that it must have been hard. He was singularly a voice in a wicked world, preaching righteousness. Building the ark, he must have been strange, but yet, because of his walk with God, it helped him obey his commands. You know, it's a lot easier to obey somebody if you have a relationship with them. I found, even especially in when it comes to the bus ministry, and I love the bus ministry so much, and I'm thankful for all of our church family who has spent money and effort in our bus ministry. But I've told you this, some of the kids that we pick up and some of the riders, they are not the most well-behaved, and that's okay. But I'll tell you this, you know when they do behave? When you have a relationship with them. When they know that you know their name, and you're not just another authority figure. Should they obey you because you're an authority figure? Sure. But when you have a relationship with them and you know their parents and you know their background and you know their heritage and you know their situation and you know what's going on at school in their life, it's not that hard for them to obey. It's really not. And when we have a relationship with God, it helps us even in our obedience. When we're so close to God, we can sense his presence. And it helps us when we obey his commands. The question of tonight is just a simple thought that walking would save lives. But ask ourselves, how is our walk with God? Perhaps we've missed a day or two. Perhaps we've missed a month or two. Perhaps we're not as faithful with walking with God as we should be. And you say, what specifically do I have to do to walk with God? Have a relationship with him. Read your Bible. Pray, listen to his voice. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. Listen, attend church, do what you know you're supposed to do. Have a relationship with God. Ask yourselves, how's our walk with God? And I am not the model Christian when it comes to having a walk with God, because as I examined my own life, and I thought, if I lived in the days of Noah, would I find grace in his eyes? And I don't know if necessarily we can ever achieve what Noah did, this great preacher of righteousness, but I challenge us tonight to have a greater walk with God. Amen. To put forward a little bit more effort. Yes. To put forward a little bit more work. To strive to become better at it every day as we seek to have a greater relationship with God. Amen. Don't let it be said that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is just walking you by every day. As it wants to talk to you and it wants to have a fellowship with you, but you just let it walk on by. Why don't you get up and walk with the Holy Spirit? Having a walk with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we pray, dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for Lord, it does not make any sense to us, but your desire to have a relationship with us. I pray that this simple thought, the simple illustration that you gave us about walking with you would help us in our lives as we seek to have a better relationship, not to let you pass by, not just to let you spend just a moment, but to spend a constant and consistent relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would please speak to your people even now.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.